This is the Bad Apples episode 5 of season 4. My name is Klaatu, and this episode we talk about the Southeast Linux Fest, a festival that took place in the Southeast. Like I said last episode, wonderful success, a lot of fun, well worth any kind of journey down there, within reason. I mean, flying in from the Netherlands, for instance, might not, might be a little bit excessive, but I'd drive pretty far for this one. This is a really good one. And I did drive with Nick and Beth Lynn. Nick from just my lug and Beth Lynn from Ohio Linux Fest. We drove down, had a lot of good conversation in the car. Driving down to a Linux Fest, the conversations that you have stuck in a car with people are actually just absolutely fascinating. So it was almost one of those things where you just kind of want to record the whole thing, but then the editing of that would be phenomenal, so I didn't bother. But yeah, some good conversations occurred. They were very neat. Anyway, we drove down, had a great time, ate at some really cool restaurants along the way. Well, not really. The best one was Waffle House. Waffle House, I love Waffle House. If I had a Waffle House near me, I would be going there all the time. But it was a lot of fun. The show went well. And there were a lot of volunteers, more volunteers than they needed, I think, in the end, which was good. The talks I didn't get to go to because I was interviewing people, but they'll be posted online eventually, so that'll be nice. I have nothing bad to say about the festival, lots of good things to say about it, but like I said last episode, whenever I try to recapture the excitement of it, it just really comes out flat, so I'm not going to. I'm going to let interviews speak for me. Now again, these are the interviews that you're not going to hear on Hacker Public Radio or on Fedora Reloaded. These are interviews that I did with people that I, either because I already knew them, or I'd gotten to know them, or because I felt like I could talk about the festival with them, rather than about a project that they're involved with or whatever. Just kind of talk to them, at least to some degree, about what the festival was like, how it was for them. So, this is, I guess let's start out with the man who was sitting in the president's chair, or the head chair in the first place, Mr. Dave Yates.
Yeah, we could. You want to step just off into the little hallway here? This is, I'm not sure which show I'm going to put this on. It could be Hacker Public Radio, it could be the Bad Apples, it could be Fedora. This is Klaatu. I'm at the Southeast Linux Festival with a gentleman named Mr. David Yates, and he's, I guess, the president of Society of Linux or something?
Something like that. It's the Southeast Linux Fest Foundation.
Okay.
We needed a legal name to get a nonprofit status.
Okay. So you're not making a lot of money off of this?
I don't know all the rules. We're going to have to apply for a federal nonprofit status so we don't end up having to pay more taxes than we have money left. We'll be doing that next week, but we are a South Carolina nonprofit, so the object is not to make money. The object is to pay for the Linux Fest.
Right.
And without the 501c3, we won't be able to save money for next year. We have to spend it all in 1 year, so that's why we have to. That's my understanding. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
If we had the 501c3, then I think we can carry that money over to next year, if there's any left.
Wow, so holding an event like this is actually, like, logistics...
It takes people's... Much smarter than me, helping me, because I don't know any of this stuff.
Wow, see, I had no idea. I just thought you kind of called everyone, said there's a festival, and kind of...
I think anytime you take donations, I found out.
Okay.
And not like,
Because of, like, fraud,
my PayPal
concerns
button,
and stuff.
If you're exchanging services for money, I think, then you...
People get
technically
involved.
Technically, the IRS needs to know.
Okay. Wow, cool. Well, on a much less legal and technical note, the festival is going really, really well.
It is. Isn't it?
I mean, it's like...
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
If I can use that word, thrilled. It's just gone much, much better than I thought. This is exactly what I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
My main fear was that our venue was a little small, but I think we've filled it nicely.
Feels like it fits perfectly.
It doesn't
perfectly.
Feel crowded.
Yeah.
I think we got lucky in several regards, and the main one being we didn't... We weren't busting at the seams. People weren't uncomfortable. It's not overly hot. It's an intimate setting. I think it's been. I give it an A+. I mean, it's been great.
Me too. No, I think it's fantastic. And it feels like you're getting a really interesting mix of people. I'm seeing people that I could imagine working in data farms or something like that. I'm seeing, I think you're getting some college students wandering through personally.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Linux community that you and I would be familiar with, you know, stuff like that.
And there's you know, professionals. I'm not in the industry, but selfishly, what I like to get out of these things is just the whole social aspect.
Whole getting to rub elbows with the people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, and feeling part of the community. Even if you, you know, may not know as much as any of these other people. And I think we pulled that off to my satisfaction. I mean, it just feels like I was telling somebody last night, the High Linux Fest is a .45 caliber. We're the .38 special right now, which is
right.
Where I want to be. I'm just really pleased with it. And I've gotten what I want out of it. And my general feedback I've been getting is other people are too.
Me too. I get it. I mean, there's definitely a really good, I don't know, atmosphere or like energy in the air or whatever. It seems like people are really having a good time.
Yeah. We've been trying to keep notes of lessons learned, things not to do, what we messed up.
Yeah.
And right now it doesn't feel like, you know, this, I guess I'm at the euphoric high.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now it doesn't feel like anything's really gone wrong. I mean, we've had some scares and, how are we going to get this done in time? But so far it's all worked out to my satisfaction.
Here's something that really impressed me. They were trying to configure laptops, pre-configure them to work with the projectors so that the speakers wouldn't have to come in, bring their own laptop, make sure that their laptop's working at the resolution that they require, blah, blah, blah. So that was a good precaution, number one. I heard over the walkie said that, I can't get any of these three Linux ones to do what I want it to do. And someone chimed in and said, well, this guy has a Mac. And instantly I heard like 10 people, no Mac, no. It like made my heart, you know, sing.
I heard you cry a little.
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
That kind of integrity, I think, is really important.
We what you didn't hear over the walkie is one of the university technicians here was able to get the last of the projectors. We had four projectors to get working.
Okay.
And we ended up, I think, with Fedora on three of them, but the fourth one proved problematic, and that's the one where somebody said, let's try a Mac, and we all said no.
Mm-hmm.
The university technician said, well, I got Windows XP on it now and it's running good. I said, well, the object is, we can't have that. That's worse than a Mac.
Yeah, yeah.
But I brought in one of my, it's actually my daughter's computer.
Uh-huh.
It's running the year-old version of Ubuntu. Then it worked fine.
Ah, perfect. That's
you should
great.
Really go down to that theater and check out the wallpaper.
Oh, yeah?
It's something a 7-year-old daughter would pick out. Just puppies and kittens and a little furry chicken.
That's funny. You should have posted it on my unixporn.com site.
I may do it.
All right. Yeah, that was really cool, and you've got great speakers. So, I know you're in the euphoria mode right now, but you see yourself doing this again next year?
Oh, yeah.
In the same position yourself, like the president of the foundation forever?
I've got a 3-year term. I'm making air quotes.
Oh, okay.
I can weasel out of it,
sure,
but I don't want to right now.
Yeah.
And seriously, I mean, two weeks ago, I was telling one of the board members that I'm already thinking about next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I really was. It was like, you know, when we were coming here and seeing the registration numbers and seeing the size of venue in Worthing before this event took place,
right.
Before, I was still looking at next year. Okay, how can we, you know, next year let's do this, and this. And
yeah.
It just happened. I wasn't like trying not to think about it.
Right.
I want to do it.
So share with our listeners. What were some of the fears like last night? I got the sense that you were kind of afraid that like no one was going to show up or that too many people were going to show up. And like what was going through? What do you worry about when you're doing something like this?
Aside
from everything.
Last night I really wasn't worried about numbers. I was excited about numbers.
Uh-huh.
Early on, I was worried about money. The economy's been down.
Sure.
I was worried about...
Well, see, I remember on your podcast, it sounded like for a long time that this was not going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the economy.
I can remember Pat Davila asking me in RRC several times in September, December, is this thing even going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, my public response wasn't negative, but in my head, I'm thinking, I really don't know.
I really
don't know. And it was January when I think Google sent us some money.
Okay.
It was okay. We can get one more, then I'm going to start believing. And then, now once we got the website up and we got registration going, and stuff just started happening. We got the speaker list, root of what it is now, which is we got amazing speakers for our first year conference.
Yeah, you did. They're really cool.
And I continue to be amazed. And I think things have changed since the 90s. But, you know, it seems like time, you know, it's the ripe time, to have a Linux Fest.
Yeah.
Because there's like small Linux Fest popping up.
Yeah,
Florida, Atlanta Linux Fest, this one. And it's just like, it's like people are ready for it. But I think a lot of it's people being starved for it. I mean, it's like mm-hmm. listening to podcasts.
If
somebody listened to mine, I think they're starved for content, number one. But it's there. And it's there. They don't, you know, sort of like Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
I'm being sappy. But
no.
You know, if you do something like this,
people
will come. And I think what amazes me is you don't have to be, like, excellent. And it doesn't have to be the perfect conference. People are just going to come there. They're just going to be happy to be part of it. And,
yeah.
I guess the goodwill is what I'm trying to get to, where people just stepping up and say, I'll do this. Or even if somebody, you know, doesn't officially volunteer, you could probably stop anybody here and say, can you do this for me, please? And it just happens.
Well, doesn't that kind of strike you as the general, I mean, I hope it stays this way, but it strikes me as the general Linux attitude, you know?
Yeah, I think
the whole... Or almost the... I guess it's for sort of the open source attitude too, you know, just kind of like, let's all contribute so that this is a good experience for everyone.
Sharing is good.
Yeah. It seems simple, but apparently it's a revolutionary
and
idea.
And it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
It's just been a blast. I mean, the day's halfway over and it's just been really, really great. I've not sat down, I don't think. Well, maybe I have. But it's just been fun, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. I think... Maybe the biggest surprise is that Beth Lynn from the Highlands Fest came down.
She
came down with you, and I thanked her last night just to have her here.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, you know, the work she had done in Ohio, what was the inspiration for this?
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, for, you know, when I never, being a long-time Linux user and not being in the industry, and I've gushed about this on the verge of being overly emotional.
All right.
About never really feeling part of the community till 2007 OLF, and when I came back, it was just like, you know, for the first time I realized I am part of this.
Right. Yeah.
Really, anybody that wants to be can be.
Yes.
Whether you know anything about Linux or not.
Yeah.
There's a girl here volunteering. She's 19 years old. Her mom works at a technology college in Greenville, and her mom asked her to volunteer because all of her computer science students were graduating today, so she didn't have anybody to volunteer, but she wanted help, so she sent her daughter.
Oh, that's cool.
So she's going home with a Fedora 11 CD and a Fedora 11 temporary tattoo, and she's I know she's been talked to 3 times about what Linux is.
Very
and
cool.
What freedom with a capital F means.
Right, yeah.
It's cool, and I think you know, people is walking by being curious, experienced users, professionals.
Yeah.
You got everybody, and everybody gets along and it's fun.
Yeah, totally.
Did you have fun?
I had great fun, yeah. It's been a blast. It's everything I expected, but I expected a little bit more confusion.
Yeah.
Because I've had to do, not anything to this scale, but you know, you organize things on your own, and there's always trying to delegate tasks and things like that. And I mean, I'm telling you, you know, you kind of get it set up, and then it starts to just kind of chug along and run itself.
It almost just happens. I mean,
yeah.
We've been working on this since probably last July, and we didn't know what we're doing. We have a better idea now, but we still don't have all the answers. But from July to September, it's like, okay, you know, we need to be doing something. Then from September to December, it was like, okay, are we doing enough? And it was like in January, it's like, okay, we're behind the eight ball. We felt that way. Where's the money at? How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
But really, looking back at the whole thing, you get an IRC, you get people of like mind all on the same page and the same
goal. Yeah.
It just happens.
It does happen,
It really wasn't that hard.
Yeah. Are you going to try for maybe a 2-day festival next year or not quite yet?
No. Not yet.
Ever?
Maybe not ever.
Maybe not ever.
Not. We talked about it this year. We talked about doing, we used OLF as a model.
Right.
And we talked about having LOPSA come in and do the LPI certification.
Right.
And I think LOPSA wasn't sure that we were legit yet. And and it was a timing issue. I think later, you know, 6 months later, we'd ask, or 3 months later, it would have been, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have our ducks in a row. We didn't at that time.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, it just... with the timing issue, I think that's something we'll want to do. And we may do it next year, but as far as it being a 2-day festival,
right.
I don't see us reaching that point for a while, if ever.
Yeah.
But I like the 1-day fest.
Yeah, it feels about right, to be
honest. You have a pre-party at the beginning, and people go home on Sunday. It's doable for a lot of people.
Right.
Like I can drive 10 hours to Ohio. You can drive 10 or 12, 8, whatever it was from...
Yeah,
you know,
like
and,
13.
Yeah, and you can do it in a weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
While you're still young.
Or if you just drive it 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, but you get... I mean, I've been real pleased with the turnout. I've been real pleased with the kind of people that's turned out, which what I mean by that is all kinds. There's people like me, there's people like you, us. It's the community.
Yeah.
It really feels You said I think you said it was everything you expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything I hoped for.
I really
didn't, being a closet pessimist of sorts,
right.
I really never felt like that it was going to be a hit. I hoped, you know, I hoped.
Right.
The rest of the guys that they helped organize this, it's not just the foundation or that's a funny term for me to use, but the original group of us.
Right.
We've had help from all kind of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had people step up and do the webpage from Virginia and Charleston. You know, we've had speakers that are speaking here that spend an hour every meeting on Tuesday night.
Wow.
So it's been great.
Cool.
Russell Bryant, Robbie Workman, you know, DGM and Slackware,
mm-hmm.
they've been in our RC meetings all week long sometimes.
Wow.
They participate in the planning meetings.
Okay, cool.
It's been a real community effort.
Yeah.
It's not a one-man show or even a five- or six-man show. It's been great.
That is really cool. Well, good job. Thanks for having it. It's really cool.
Thanks for coming.
And, do it again
next year
for sure, because I'm definitely coming back. I know, I guess most of the people here would come back if they had a chance, and probably now that people are going to hear about it on podcasts and stuff like that, you know, now, like you said, no one knew if you were, like, for real.
Yeah.
But now you're for real, so.
I think you just made my day. I was just talking with one of the board members, and he asked me, you know, we every time we see each other, we say, you know, hey, things going, we're giving each other a thumbs up and saying, much better, you know, it's better than I ever thought. And then just a while ago, walking down the hall, he said, you know, it's almost anticlimactic. And I said, I don't think it's hit us yet. I think
mm-hmm.
when it's over with and we hear buzz about the event, or I actually hear feedback from people, how good a time they had. And you just provided me, honestly, with my first piece. You said, I'm going to come back next year.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
If we could, my end goal, and I guess when we decided to do this, was let's make one happen, and if it's good enough,
then keep going.
Yeah,
it'll kind of just take care of itself. I mean, people are going to assume now that you've got itself every year.
You know, for a guy that drove 13 hours to say he's coming back next year, you know, in a very small first year kind of way, I think we recreated what we wanted to, which is an event like OLF. It's more mature. We're 6-7 years old. We're 1 year old. We're not them yet. In my wildest dreams, maybe we'll become that one day. But in a small way, we've done that. You know,
cool.
When you say you're coming back.
Yeah, totally.
I'm holding you to that.
Good. All right, cool. So I'll see you next year then.
All right.
All right, thanks. That was Dave Yates. Mr. Dave Yates, the man who, I guess, kind of got it all kick-started in the first place. So, that was good. Good to talk to him. Good to see him again. I met him initially at Ohio Linux Fest. Really happy to kind of get to hang out with him a little bit at Southeast Linux Fest. I didn't want to bug him too much because I knew I figured he had to be busy. But he's a cool guy. Really friendly, of course. And it was a lot of fun, so. Thanks to Dave, and thanks to the whole South Carolina Linux user community for the festival. Now, the next guy I'm going to interview here, play the interview for, is his name is Ethan, and he was another volunteer, extremely, extremely helpful. He was the kind of guy who, I mean, if I needed something, because I was sort of supposed to be managing or keeping an eye on the exhibition floor. So this is where all the vendors are sitting in their little booths. And when I say vendors, I really just mean people with a booth. I mean, a lot of them weren't vendors at all, but, you know, so it was the booth area. So I was making sure that they all had their power and network connections that they needed and stuff like that, and food and just, you know, whatever they needed, basically. So whenever I needed something like a ladder or an Ethernet cable, whatever, or one of the IT staff from the school to talk to them, I would turn around. Ethan would inevitably be standing right there. I would tell him to go find, you know, whatever I needed. He'd run off and he'd come back with it in tow. It was just phenomenal. He was so helpful and so dedicated. I was really, really impressed. More impressive still is that he's in third grade. So, and he volunteered because he wanted to. He wanted to volunteer for the event. So that was pretty cool. He was a really nice guy, and he and I hung out quite a bit, actually, because we were both in the expo hall, and then he was kind enough to save me a seat at the table with some of the organizers and his dad. So we sat there and had a lot of good conversation, talked about Linux and Java and stuff like that, and it was a lot of fun.
So here's his interview.
Hi everyone, this is Klaatu. I'm at the Southeast Linux Fest, and I was actually volunteering at this festival, doing some sort of help in the exhibit hall, just kind of making sure everyone had what they needed, stuff like that. One of the guys who was helping me a lot is named Ethan. How you doing, Ethan?
Good.
Cool. Why are you here?
I'm here because my dad is one of the people who set this up.
Oh, okay, cool. So what have you been doing all day?
I've been helping you, and I've been going around, resting, I've been helping people, I've been practically been all over the place.
Wow. So, how much DS have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing very little lately because I have a PlayStation 3 and I have a new game I got a few days ago.
What game is it?
It's Star Wars The Complete Saga.
Oh, wow.
It's really cool. You get, all the Star Wars characters combined, and it even has new characters.
Yeah, from the
and
expanded
new
universe.
Episodes to do.
Oh, cool. Wow, okay.
And it has bonuses, which are pretty cool. There's a whole... And they have these super stories.
Ooh, what are those?
It's when you complete a level, you unlock bonuses, and you can complete... And it says super story character bonus or minikit bonus. I did a super story on episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Oh, cool.
And I did it in 55 minutes.
No way, really?
Yeah, and the best time it had on there was 1 hour.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know.
That's pretty good. So, do you run Linux? Like, do you use Linux on your computer at home?
Yeah, I use Greenfoot sometimes.
Oh, okay. Cool. And what do you do on that?
I create characters, and I get to choose what they do.
Cool. Okay. And what are some of the characters that you've chosen?
Well, when I was first on there, these two characters were recreated. The Leaf and the Wombat.
Okay.
And then my dad and I made something called the Evil Wombat.
Okay, what is the Evil Wombat?
Well, it's scarlet and it goes around eating good wombats.
What? That's terrible.
I know. But at least I made a rock that eats evil wombats.
Are you Evil Ethan?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, you could be... No, actually, you might not be, because you've been pretty helpful. You've been getting drinks for everyone and stuff like that, so
yeah.
That's cool. So did your dad tell you that you were going to have to, like, work like a dog here at the festival, or did you come here expecting to have, like, fun or something?
I actually decided to do this on my own.
Oh, really?
Because I knew people needed help, and
yeah.
I'm looking for things to do.
Oh, cool. Okay. You know what you told me earlier? You said that there was some kind of competition at school. I think it was at your school. About reading or something?
Yeah.
What? I forget what... Tell me about that again. I don't remember the stuff.
You have to read a certain amount of books and you can get some awards.
Okay. How many books do you have to read? Do you
remember? At least 15.
15 books?
Mm-hmm.
And have you read a lot lately or?
I've read 3 books and I'm working on my chapter book.
Okay. Wow. Cool. So you're gonna try it for the max, or are you gonna try for 15, or are you gonna try for more so you can get better prizes, or?
I'm gonna try for more.
Wow, I bet you can do it. Are you
my
a pretty good? Are you a pretty good reader? Like, I mean,
yeah.
You know, yeah, cool.
Even if I didn't want to do more, my mom would make.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So I mean, it's really neat that you're using Linux at home, and Linux, is pretty. It's a pretty neat computer system to be running. And if I were you, I would really, read a lot, play, PlayStation a lot, and give Linux a little bit of time, too, because the more you learn about that, the more you're going to know about computers, and, everyone uses computers all the time these days.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of have to know it, so whatever. Well, cool, Ethan, thanks for talking to me. I mean,
you're
this is going to be on some podcast somewhere, and I'll email your dad or something when it's up, just so you can hear yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know why you necessarily need to, but you can hear yourself. Yeah, cool. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And thanks for your help today, too.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Clad 2. I am at the after party at the Southeast Linux Fest, which was a rousing success. And I'm talking to...
Who are you?
John Urie.
John Urie. And so you're Ethan's dad, who I interviewed earlier today, actually.
Yes, that's correct. I'm Ethan's father.
And so you forced him to work on a voluntary basis at conferences around the country, or what?
Well, this is our first Southeast Linux Fest conference, and he was very excited. He's been participating in the UCLUG and the Java Users Group here in Greenville. So when I asked him if he'd like to actually come to the conference and participate, he actually said that he would. So he got up bright and shine this morning and has been Mr. Gopher all day. So he'll probably crash pretty easily tonight.
Correct. Yeah, no, he's been like probably the most active volunteer of today. Yeah, so I don't know. When I was interviewing him, I kept asking him if he used Linux at home. He didn't seem that clear, but he said he used Greenfoot.
Yeah.
I assumed he was talking about like GNOME desktop with a green footprint on it or something. I understand that's not the case. What is Greenfoot?
Well, Greenfoot is an open source project in education for teaching children to program in the Java programming language. So Greenfoot is an interactive environment where they can create animals. There's a bunch of pre-made images and setups so that they can actually create animals that walk around. So their initial setup is that they have something called a wombat, and the wombat walks around and avoids rocks, etc. And part of it is just creating animals in this world and having them navigate around, move around, meet other animals, eat them, do various things to them.
Yeah. Yeah, he said you made an evil wombat that ate other wombats. So. But yeah, okay, so it runs in the Java runtime environment or whatever, and you install it and it runs, and it teaches kids how to program in Java then.
That's correct. So
okay.
It's a really neat program. If you haven't seen it before, it's definitely worth going to the site. It's greenfoot.org.
Okay.
And it's based out of, I believe, the UK. It was part of the University of Kent, I believe, was one of the groups that was sponsoring it. And it's a really great environment to teach kids to program.
Cool. And so you actually program in Java, like, as your job, is that correct?
Right. I'm an enterprise architect for Agfa Healthcare. And
okay.
My primary job is developing enterprise software applications using Java.
Okay. And now Java, and I know Java, obviously. Will it necessarily run as long as the Java runtime environment? You put it on a machine, that Java application will run in that environment?
That's correct. As long as there's a Java virtual machine that's been compiled for that environment, you can actually write it on anything. In fact, I do a lot of the work on a Mac, and I run those applications on Sun Solaris or Linux, etc. So
okay.
It's truly a write-once, run-anywhere environment. So the applications that I develop in Java, it doesn't matter. I can, the same binaries, once they're compiled, I can run them on any platform.
Interesting. Those are .jar files, or no?
Right. Jar files are just the packaging format for the applications.
Okay.
It's just the bytecodes that have been compiled down so that they run inside the virtual machine. The virtual machine, though, will accommodate other languages. In fact, there's been a surge in other languages that run on top of the JVM in addition to Java, and those languages include like JRuby and Jython, which are the Ruby version in Java and the Python version in Java.
That's cool. All right. And you use NetBeans, or what do you use to do this work in?
That's right. I use another open source IDE platform called NetBeans.
Okay.
And it's freely available from netbeans.org.
Yep.
And it's a fantastic environment if you're just looking for a pure Java environment without all the additional pieces. Eclipse, although it's a great platform, has evolved into this realm of handling things like business reporting tools and other things, where the Java side of things is kind of, although there, it's hidden amongst all the other pieces and parts of the Eclipse project.
Yeah,
so NetBeans
Eclipse
is pure.
Always kind of like, overwhelms me. I don't know where to begin with Eclipse. Whereas NetBeans or Qt Creator, you open it up and it's a lot more focused, I guess.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. And
okay.
You can actually open up NetBeans the tutorials on the NetBeans .org site will give you a really in-depth tutorial on how to use the application. And those tutorials are so complete that you can basically take a couple of tutorials, combine them using NetBeans, and walk away with an enterprise class application in just a matter of, you know, either hours if you're not even used to it, or minutes if you're used to developing in EE or desktop environments.
Okay, wow. So this might not even be a question you have any clue about, and if so, I can edit it out. The relationship between Java and C++, is there a relationship? I keep kind of hearing them compared to each other. Is that something that you know? Why are they compared to each other? Are they related?
Not necessarily related. What happened was C++ predates Java, mm-hmm. and when Java was developed, the idea was to try to transition folks from using C and C++ to using the Java platform. So a lot of the construction is the same as you would find in C. One of the greatest advantages of Java happens to do with garbage collection. In other words, once something runs, cleaning up the remaining bits after the program
I've
runs.
I've heard about that, yeah.
And in C, if you're not careful, you can end up with a lot of, lots of things left over in memory.
Okay.
Lots of holes.
Mm-hmm.
And that memory is never collected again.
Mm-hmm.
In Java, it has it's been designed from the get-go to do automatic garbage collection, so you don't have to worry about, did I dispose of these memory locations, etc. The JVM says it's out of scope, it's time to garbage collect it and recover that memory. So it's a lot cleaner.
Cool. Okay. So here's another question then. From your perspective, and so you live in Java, right? I mean, you're all about Java.
Primarily, yes.
Sure. What is the argument against Java, or what's the problem with Java? Why isn't it? It strikes me as a slightly controversial thing because, I guess, because it's not like because it has a runtime environment. Maybe. I mean, do you see a disadvantage to this at all, or?
I don't necessarily think that there's something wrong with Java. In the past, Java had been accused of being very slow, but over the years, Java has been around since 1995, and the virtual machine has gotten very, very, very optimized. So now we're looking at comparisons typically in speed. And, when you run a C program on bare metal, the response, this is kind of the gold standard that you're going to compare any sort of virtualized environment against.
Okay.
The JVM has been optimized using hotspot technologies, JRocket. There's a bunch of various implementations of the virtual machine. They have gotten so fast that from a user standpoint, it's almost running at native speeds. So there's not really a speed issue. The complexity that used to confront Java had to do with the swing development or the GUI development.
Okay.
And that was because there were really no visual design time tools for it.
Mm-hmm.
That was solved a few years ago with NetBeans and a system called Matisse, which is a layout manager where you can actually visually drag and drop those components onto a form, and you would actually be able to develop these web applications, or excuse me, these desktop applications,
mm-hmm.
without having to figure out all the syntax required to construct it.
Okay.
So the new design time environments and the new design paradigms and programming paradigms have made Java desktop applications transparent. In fact, if you look on a Mac platform, you really cannot tell the difference between something's compiled using Objective-C or Java. In fact,
and it runs off an SQLite database.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
The main reason for that, except for the actual feeds that you want to subscribe to, that would still be flat file.
Okay.
But when you would start up Getcast, it's actually going to read the flat file.
Yep.
And put those into a table, check it against it, and see if they are already there.
Volunteers, and I'd say the two most important people that have really extended us and made our conference an apparent success are Eugene Ma and Lyman Berg. Without their volunteering efforts, it wouldn't matter about the board or any of the other pieces.
Yeah.
The volunteers, it's the community that makes the difference.
Which is cool.
I don't want to take any credit for anything that anybody else has done. The volunteers have made it, and I just play a minor role in that.
Honestly, it feels like a lot of people are responsible for the success, including all the people in attendance. It's just like it's a really neat feeling festival, you know, something that really feels like everyone here is kind of making it happen as it happens, which, I mean, is obvious because it is happening, but you know what I mean? I mean, everyone's kind of got a cool feel of like, hey, let's just get together and have this cool fest, you know, like it just happened.
Right, and you know, that's, for me, what makes a conference successful. It's, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, the speakers will draw the attendees in.
Yeah.
And that those are the folks, you know, you're going to look at, you know, who's showing up at the conference,
yeah.
who's giving the talk, etc. Maybe you look at who's sponsoring the talk, and you'll see, you know, some of the names on there, and you'll say, wow, okay. You know, I see Google, I see Red Hat, I
sure.
see, you know, Novell, OpenSUSE, and those sorts of things are going to draw you in. But what makes the conference successful is the folks that are talking in the hallway.
Yeah.
I mean, they may see a talk and they'll say, wow, that's really cool. And they go out in the hallway and they start talking amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And then it starts off with one or two people, and next thing you know, it's this like flocking algorithm where everybody just
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
groups together, and
yeah.
maybe they split off and form other groups,
mm-hmm.
and it's that talking, it's that communication. And
yeah.
it was all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, I could walk around and I could just catch pieces
yeah, yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah.
And, and that's really, when you talk about a community conference, that's the community part of the conference.
Yeah.
It's people not necessarily knowing each other,
mm-hmm.
just being able to talk and being able to communicate about something they found cool, something they found interesting,
mm-hmm.
maybe even something that they had a difficulty with or they're, you know, not sure of.
Mm-hmm.
They feel safe enough, you know, to show their cards and say, you know, I really don't know anything about that technology, but it
right.
looks really cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
And that conversation, those hallway conversations, really, I have to say, I just attended the Java One conference last week, and it's that same sort of feel. I've been going to that conference for the last 5 years.
Wow.
And, you know, this seemed like that conference in terms of this is a first-time conference, and we had that communication in the hall
yeah.
that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and that's
and
what
that was
you're
awesome.
Right. That's what you want it to feel like. Because then it feels good. It feels like a real festival and all that other good stuff. The festival, so, I mean, your overall impression is that it went well, obviously. You're going to do it. You think it's going to happen again next year?
I'm positive. I mean, just the level of interest, and you know, it was kind of like there was a vacuum here, and you know, if you look at weather fronts, you know, you know, high pressure and low pressure,
mm.
you know, there was this low pressure area
yeah.
where everybody, you know, the vacuum where everything was,
yeah.
they were looking for something to be right here in the southeast. I mean,
mm.
there were some conferences that were here historically in the past, Atlanta and Raleigh, etc.,
mm.
but there was nothing that was truly open where
yeah.
we could just draw people in. And That vacuum, this fills that vacuum, and we have people coming from, and it's not just the Southeast. I mean, we have folks coming in from Ohio, we have folks coming in from California, Texas, Mississippi. I mean, we even had somebody who couldn't make it from the Netherlands.
Oh,
I mean,
that's
cool. when you look at that, you're like, wow, okay, this is something where we're attracting people. Again, it's attracting people because of the speakers and,
yeah.
and the sponsors, but once they get in here, it was so successful in terms of getting people in here and getting them talking and having them say, you know, man, I can't wait till next year, I'll see you next year,
yeah.
and we hadn't even determined whether we were going to do it next year. It was dependent upon how this turned out, and it is a success.
Yeah.
It is truly a success.
Cool.
And one of the things we have to look at is, wow, we might need a bigger venue next year.
Yeah, the exhibit hall was looking pretty full. Okay, last question. 3 wombats versus 1 evil wombat. Who wins?
Well, according to Ethan's evil wombat strategy, the evil wombat will win unless the evil wombat runs into an evil wombat eating rock. Right?
Wow.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's pretty hardcore. Okay, well, that's cool. Thanks for talking to me, and you know, thanks for everything that you did on the fest.
Thank you.
Wow, with all this talk of Java, I'm actually getting kind of thirsty. So why don't you go grab a cup of coffee, I'll grab myself one, and we can come back and listen to a promo for a show, and then we'll listen to another interview.
Are you not listening to Hacker Public Radio? Really? You need to listen to Hacker Public Radio for your daily dose of community-created content, technical tips, super elite hacker how-tos, gaming and gadget reviews, and much, much more.
Oh my God,
it's Hacker
Public
Radio!
Catch it Monday through Friday at hackerpublicradio.com.
Yes, that was a Hacker Public Radio promo. I know that if you're listening to my show, if you know who I am, you probably don't need a promo for Hacker Public Radio. But I was asked to do these Hacker Public Radio promos, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that they existed. They're out there. I'm going to post them to my server, and I'll put the links in the show notes. And so feel free, if you do a podcast, certainly feel free to do a Hacker Public, to play a Hacker Public Radio promo. I think there's a lot of cross-pollination in the podcast, I imagine, but I'm sure there are some people out there who might listen to this show and then might learn of Hacker Public Radio, you know, via this show. Or your own show, if you do a show. You know, you have to assume that some people, other than the regular crowd, are finding your show. So playing the promo is that, sure, your regular audience might know about that particular show or that event, but those people who just randomly decide to try out one of these weird Linux podcasts that they'd heard of, they might not know about that yet, so it might be really handy for them. So yeah, Hacker Public Radio promos do exist. Feel free to use them. But now, let's listen to Snack Machine B. Snack Machine B, of course, is a Linux Cranks regular. He is a guy who actually lives pretty close to where I live, so we're in the same general area in the Northeast. He's a nice guy. I got to hang out with him on the way back, actually. I had driven down with Nick and Beth Lynn, but then I drove back with Nick, Beth Lynn, and Snack Machine B. So we had a lot of good conversation, a lot of informative stuff. He knows quite a bit about, you know, coding and web stuff. And he's a great Fluxbox themer. If you haven't seen his work on unixporn.com, go there, look for his gallery. He does fantastic work. Really, really beautiful stuff. So, let's check out this interview. You know, on a talk show where they're like, they act like the guest just like happened in. They're like, hi there, you know, and they're like, sure, oh, sit down. And they act like it's all like on the spot, like they wandered into their house, their living room, and just started sitting down. But yeah, so this is Klaatu. I'm at Southeast Linux Fest. I'm sitting here having a wonderful cup of coffee with Snack Machine B. How you doing, Snack?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So, what do you think of this festival so far?
Very, very well done. You know, it was very well thought out, mm-hmm. managed, and implemented. Mm-hmm. All very well taken care of.
Yeah.
The talks that I've been to have been really good.
Cool.
The vendors are awesome, and the expo is really nice. I really enjoy it.
Isn't it? I mean, it doesn't. I don't know exactly what it would feel, but I'm. It doesn't feel like a first-year festival to me.
No.
Whatever, I don't know what that would feel like, but it just seems like, I don't know, a normal fest.
You know, that's what I'm saying about the implementation, because, you know, it's a first-year festival, mm-hmm. so you're expecting, you know, a bunch of bumps and, you know.
Yeah.
But I haven't, it's been a great time.
Yeah.
It really has.
It's been cool. So you traveled like 12 hours to get here, so, or something like that.
Yeah, it was an 11 and a half bus ride.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then I met up with Chad, and we hung out for a bit, and then Dan and Art came and picked us up, and
okay.
we left from Chad's.
Okay, gotcha. Wow. Yeah, that must have been fun.
Yeah.
do you have any speakers that you saw that you really, really were impressed with or whatever? Something new that you learned or whatever?
I've heard really good things about a lot of the speakers, really. I attended the keynote this morning. That was pretty good. I enjoyed Zonker at the OLF also.
Yeah.
I heard bits and pieces of some of the other presentations.
Did you go to Chad?
No, well, that's at 3.
Is it not 3?
No, it's only just after 1.
Feels like it's like 5 o'clock. I had no idea.
Yeah. Chad's at 3.
How can we screw his talk up best?
I think you and me, 3:30, Pegwell, we're gonna all be like right in the front row. Just mess with Chad the entire time.
I think it's a great idea, because he's gonna try to come across in his like pseudo or his uber like professional personality that he puts on sometimes to trick people into thinking that he knows what he's talking about. You know, and we have to like show them that's not the case, you know. It's like they haven't heard Linux Cranks where he's calling in drunk and tired, you know. We need to expose this you know, to the world.
Yeah, yeah, we got to show Chad who he really is. Yeah, it's going to be... I kind of went over his presentation with him. He was saying, you know, what he was...
He was really scared, wasn't he?
Not really scared, no. He pretty much wrote it, like, right off the... Yeah.
But for real, I did hear his... I don't know if you listened to his episode. He had posted it as a Linux Basement one, I think, but he was talking to, like, the boardroom of his school department or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good talk.
Yeah.
I was like, when I heard that, I mean, I know Chad, you know, well enough to know that he's an intelligent and, you know, thought-out guy, so...
Yeah.
But when I heard that, I was like, whoa, this guy, like, you know, it's like the difference between, like, knowing something and, like, really knowing what you're talking about and how to sell it and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That impressed me a lot.
Yeah.
I think his talk is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So you are a Fluxbox or Openbox sort of like theme expert, sort of?
I dabble in it, yeah.
Dabble. I want to know, like, if you can just do a quick outline of your workflow. Like, what, do you go into, like, GIMP and, like, make gradients and then define that as your title? You know what I mean? Like, how is it done?
It's, you know, it. Everybody's got their own process.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it off and on since 2003.
Wow.
So, it was one of those things where I got into doing it, and I did a couple, and then I just got hooked.
Yeah.
And I continued doing it, and then as you know, the more you go on, you kind of refine your process, and you get into, like, a set, you know, thing. Okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
You get a whole process outlined. The main thing is I have problems just picking out random colors.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, but you try to find colors that blend very well together.
And you do that, like, also with the background picture that you choose, it seems, which is really neat.
I mean, it
looks like a full package.
Yeah,
it's like really
I'm real
cool.
Picky with what backgrounds I pick, but I try to pick ones that have different, like, way different colors at opposite ends of the scale.
Yeah.
And then try to think in my head, how can I tie that together to make it, you know, just shine?
So what are the tools of the trade? Like, what do you use?
Really? I just use a standard color picker.
Uh-huh. So it's really just text conf files defining, like, I want X to be this hex code, Y to be this code,
that's exactly it.
Wow.
Just a standard color picker and, you know, your text editor of choice.
Cool.
And a lot of the times I'll just use Nano or whatever else, you know. The VI is actually really nice for it because they have a whole syntax coloring
thing,
like, already built in,
so
you can just implement that.
Yeah.
But I just go through and I find, you know, the colors I really want to use and where I think they would fit best in the color scheme and just try to implement it as best I can.
Cool. What do you run mostly, Flux or Open?
I kind of flip-flop in between. It depends what mood I'm in.
And can you define once and for all the difference between, like, Fluxbox and Openbox? Like, what on earth? And I know everyone asks this, but, I mean, like, just give me what's the difference between the two?
The main difference, there's two main differences.
Mm-hmm.
One is the language that it's written in.
Okay.
And the other one is... Fluxbox has a toolbar at the bottom.
Yep.
Openbox does not.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. That's what I needed. that's what I wanted to hear.
That's pretty
Everyone
much
asks
it.
That question, and then the person rambles on for like 45 minutes about sort of like minute differences or how it feels different. And you're like, what was the question and what was the answer?
I mean, they each have their own, you know, as you said, they each have their own kind of like feel to it when you're using it. But the syntax that they use... The styling syntax or the theming syntax is different between Fluxbox and Openbox. Openbox is more of like an XML-based type system. Same thing, not with the styling, but the menu structure is all XML-based.
And now you're like a asterisk ML person, right? I mean, you do like HTML. I mean, you're a web designer, I guess, is what you would be called.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Pretty much.
Cool.
That's what I do at work.
Okay.
Mainly is web development.
Okay. And if you know, for instance, I mean, because the new, correct me if I'm wrong, the new trend in HTML is towards to sort of re-implement it as an XML, like, so that's what the term XHTML comes from, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's HTML and XML markup.
Okay, cool. So all that stuff kind of makes sense to you, and then Fluxbox kind of is a natural progression because it's all XML or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's not really...
I mean, I know XML isn't a thing, but
it's
an adjective, not a noun, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And it's as far as, like, you know, with the Fluxbox or the OpenBox and the XML, that stuff is it's very easy because they give you very well documented code on how to, you know, implement different things in the menu.
Yeah.
You know, HTML, XHTML, you really don't see too much actual XML code in it. But, you know, when you start doing, like, your RSS feeds and that stuff, that's all.
Right, sure.
You know, so depending on how you want to roll with that. Then.
Yeah, actually, I mean, Fluxbox is really good about documentation as well. I mean, when I first installed it, I remember figuring most of it out just from opening up the conf files, and you look at the menu structure, and you just—it's pretty quick. You pick it up really fast.
Yeah, it's not one of those things that's so daunting. It's very upfront. Here I am. You know, here's what you want.
So, do you talk to any of either the Fluxbox or the OpenBox, like, people, like the community or whatever, or just kind of use it and make themes for it? That's what you do.
Yeah, I just kind of use it.
Cool.
I started with, you know, this, I'm probably going to get crap for it, but I was a Windows user until 2003.
Okay.
I've used Linux off and on since 98.
Okay.
But primarily all my schoolwork, I had to have Windows for.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, whatever. And I kept getting sick of Explorer.
Right.
So I would go out and find alternatives. And
yeah.
There's a lot of projects out there that write alternative shells for Windows other than Explorer.
Yeah.
And I found a black box theme for light stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, that's really cool.
Uh-huh.
And they did a very good job with it, plug-in system and everything. And I was like, I wonder if there's an actual project for Windows that's not light stuff.
Right.
And I looked, and there's actually now there are several. The main project was called BB for Win.
Okay.
It started there. They actually used some of, like, that gradient syntax that they use, the calculation, and in Black Box, the original, is used in BB for Win.
Okay.
The same syntax, BB for Win is, that project itself is actually kind of dead right now.
Mm.
But there's multiple forks from that source.
Cool.
And that's where I first started. I had friends that were like, yeah, and just like, here, you know, learn how to style. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, that's kind of where I started out.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, the themes look great. And they're on unixporn.com.
Yeah.
If I can plug my own site.
And snackmachinebee.com.
This is my interview, so I'll just cut your own plug for your own website out. But no. So snackmachinebee.com.
Yeah, snkmchnb.com.
Okay, all right, cool. And are they available, like, for download there, I'm assuming?
Yes.
I mean, so you can actually just get them in.
Primarily, the ones that are on there right now are just Black Box.
Okay.
I'm in the process. I'm trying to find an easy way. I might find be able to find a script or write a script to actually translate from Black Box to Fluxbox to OpenBox.
Okay.
Because I'm going to make them available for all three.
Yeah, cool.
So
wait, you're getting GitCast or
I'm
like getting another, mixed up.
I have so many projects.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I like GitCast. I tried it like way back early. I don't remember what happened. I think I got a podcast via it, and then I never went back to it for whatever reason. Where is it now? Like what stage of
it's. I'm actually, and this is probably the second or third time, I'm in the redevelopment phase.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, everything is pretty much in line.
Mm-hmm.
There's some object-oriented in it. It all works off a flat file.
Okay.
But what I'm aiming to do is redesign it so it's all OOP, and it runs off an SQLite database.
Wow. Okay.
The main reason for that, except for the actual feeds that you want to subscribe to, that would still be flat file.
Okay.
But when you would start up GetCast, it's actually going to read the flat file.
Yep.
And put those into a table, check it against it, and see if they're already there. If not, it'll insert it, and then it'll go through, and it's a threaded podcatcher too. So it's not only one process doing one thing at a time.
Nice.
It's basically saying, okay, here, go do work.
Yeah.
So you'll have one thread per show.
Okay, so here's an idea, actually. Niceness. Are you able to and I don't know much about this, but like when you bring up something in top, you know, you can mm-hmm. see if it's a quote a nice, you know, or you can re-nice it, you know, mm-hmm. to make it give more power to the CPU, you know, kind of like take a second seat to whatever else is it wants to happen on the CPU.
Right.
Is that something that you define on like a programming level, or is that something that
In standard languages, yes, you can define it. It's not necessarily something that has to be defined.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that's going to be really intensive if you first just launch it,
mm-hmm.
that's something that developers really should, at least from my opinion, should mm-hmm. definitely look into, because you don't want to bog someone's machine down.
Okay.
Because what's going to be their first response? Why is this doing this to my machine?
Right.
It
yeah.
should, you know.
Yeah.
That's going to kill the user experience. It's not mm-hmm. what anybody wants to do.
Right.
I assume there's something in Python that will allow you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have never actually looked into it.
But Gitcast isn't exactly a monster application,
no,
so it's probably not an issue.
It's very light. It runs right now. It's a little buggy, and I have found that it can be CPU intensive at times. Right now, like, I haven't even started doing the database portion of it.
Okay.
But I'm still in planning for that.
Okay.
But for instance, like, everything runs off a flat file. So there's,
right,
there's
okay.
two flat files that are actually in the system. You've got your feed list,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got essentially a log. And it will go through and check the log file to see if that file's already been downloaded. If it has been downloaded, it'll try to match it with the... Or no, it'll see if it's already been downloaded. If it does, it'll skip it.
Yeah.
If it hasn't been downloaded, it'll go through and see if the file exists, kind of like a temp file, on
mm-hmm.
your system. If it does exist, it'll check the file size.
Mm-hmm.
If the file size from the feed
yeah.
is actually larger than what is on your system,
uh-huh.
or
oh,
not,
right, so then it'll re-download it because
yeah.
it's not a complete...
Exactly. It'll,
wow,
it'll
cool.
delete the original that you already have and start re-downloading it.
Shouldn't you just use curl and have it... Just like
that's something that I'm looking into, actually.
Oh, okay.
I've had some requests for actual status, you know,
mm-hmm.
what one are you working on, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I haven't found an easy way to do it yet.
Yeah.
With, because it's all console based. There's no
right.
front end. At this time, I don't even have an intention of making a GUI for it.
I think your audience is probably not gonna want the GUI anyway.
Exactly.
You know,
it's so. My whole reason for Gitcast was to make a, you know, if you've only got a few feeds
mm-hmm.
you really listen to, and they're not something that publish show after show after show after
right,
show,
right.
Bash Potter is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I used at first. But I wanted something to kind of complement Bash Potter,
mm-hmm.
where you have multiple shows, and you get, you know, daily you might have 3, 4, 5 downloads at a time. And you got to sit there and wait for each one.
Right, right, okay.
And for me, like, in the morning, that's generally when I would do everything.
Yeah,
I just
last
it,
minute.
Last minute, and then I go to throw everything on there. But with Bash Potter, and not to bash it, because Link has done a really, really good job.
Yeah, it's an incredibly cool application.
Yes, it really
yeah.
is. And it works very well, one at a time. But
yeah.
I need them now. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, me too. I mean,
get everything.
Yeah.
Get everything in there, and then just throw it right on my Flash player, and I'm good to go.
So this really is, I mean, really, it's to scratch your own itch, because, I mean, couldn't you theoretically use, like, I don't know, whatever other people use, like Rhythmbox or Amarok or whatever other player?
Yeah, I've tried using Amarok. I'm not a big fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
The podcasting, you know, section of it works,
mm-hmm.
I guess, but it's not really my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of Rhythmbox.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much any GUI podcaster that's really out there, I'm not real big into.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, me neither. It just doesn't seem to work for
yeah.
me.
Yeah,
I mean, it works, but it just doesn't work.
G-Potter is very, very good, actually. I started using that again. They put a new release out
mm-hmm.
recently. I think it's 0.16, and it runs really well. They've made some really good changes to it. It runs really nice, but I don't necessarily want to load a GUI.
Right.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, I have the same. I think that's probably what it boils down to for me,
yeah.
too.
So, something that's just lightweight, and I can throw it right into cron.
Yep.
I can throw it on I build a nano server, so I can just throw it right on my server and say,
cool.
You know, just
yeah.
run it every hour or so.
Yeah.
Grab all
cool.
my feeds for me, and good to go.
So from your perspective, whatever your perspective is podcasting, like, important? What is podcasting? I mean, like, you know?
Podcasting, for me, it's I would consider it entertainment.
Uh-huh.
Very entertaining, but it's also very informative.
Mm-hmm.
I find out a lot of information from various podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, and even, you know, Tilts.
Bad apples.
Yeah. I haven't. Well, when was the last time you put out an episode?
Oh, yesterday.
Oh.
Or the day before.
Okay. Well, I was.
I kind of snuck
I
it
was in transit
because I was like, no. I was like, shoot, Self is in like 2 days. I really need to just put something so people can't bug me about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, in the content that is put out anymore is really well done. There's been a lot of really good guests out
yeah,
there,
yeah.
And they a lot of the times they really compliment you know festivals like mm-hmm. Ohio Linux
yeah.
Fest and
yeah.
even Self. Self, you know, like I said earlier, it's been awesome so
yeah.
far.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. All right. Well, I don't know. I think that's it. So snackmachinebee.com is your site. You themes. You like Self. Thanks for talking to me.
No, no problem.
Cool. See ya.
See ya.
Well, that's it. That is the end. That is where we have exhausted all of the Southeast Linux Fest interviews. And hopefully you get some idea of the general atmosphere and excitement of the show. If you didn't get to go this year, try to come some other year. It's definitely worth it. If you're Ken Fallon and you live in the Netherlands, hopefully this gives you some, kind of makes you feel like you were there in some way. Now, I dropped his name because Ken actually registered for the festival, which was pretty darn cool. He didn't, I don't think, ever intend to actually go to the festival, but he did register, he paid his money, stuff like that. That was just kind of neat to me. I mean, that's showing support is what I'm trying to stammer out here, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, so the festival, I mean, really, and that kind of typifies the entire feel of the festival. It really did feel like a community event that just kind of happened. Thinking about, you mean people had to work at making this happen for a year before it actually occurred? You know, it didn't feel like that. It just felt like everyone just kind of congregated in one area and just made it happen. Obviously, it didn't happen that way. The local Lugs and Dave Yates and all the people, you know, Kevin and Jeremy and all these people who were working on it worked very hard. And the reason that it went off so well is because they did the pre-production that they did. In a big event like this, the amount of pre-production that you do is directly proportional to the success of the event. The more pre-production you do, at a certain point, you look and you say, okay, there's nothing I can do in advance. Everything's set up. Now it just has to happen. And if you're still trying to struggle and get things done while it's happening, it's not going to work. Things are going to fail. But if you've done your pre-production, everything's set up, everything's ready to go, then, yeah, it's going to cascade and just kind of happen as it needs to happen. And that's what happened. It worked. Self was a big success. Try to get there next year if you can. If not, try to get up to Ohio Linux Fest this September. And I will see you probably there. And maybe at another festival like Ontario or Florida. Talk to you later. If you need to reach me, that's the end of the show. So if you need to reach me, Klaatu@hackerpublicradio.org or Klaatu@linuxcranks.info. They both actually go to the same place, so just choose your poison. And let's see, that's my email. Website is thebadapples.info. Also check out unixporn.com for all your gratuitous Unix and Linux screenshots. And I guess that's about it. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Hi kids, my name is Klaatu. I'd like to talk to you about staying in school. Did you know that every year 134 million children drop out of school? That's 367,123.29 per day. That means every second, 254.95 children drop out of school. Now, at the current birth rate, that's every child being born right now
is going to drop out of school except one. There's a one-child difference there. You don't want to be that one kid. Drop out now, stay home, and go to hackermedia.org. Hackermedia.org is a showcase of audio and video for hackers, techies, geeks, bored people. When a new episode of something comes out, it automatically pops up on hackermedia.org, which normally works out to hours of new content for you to discover and enjoy every day. Check it out, hackermedia.org.